And we're glad that you are here to celebrate and share with us. It is a very packed morning. We have a lot of stories that we want to share with you. So we're just going to jump right in. And so Jocelyn is going to come up and she's going to read our scripture. We're going to look at two verses of scripture today. And they'll be up on the screen. Maybe. There we go.
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age. And that is our reading from Matthew 28:19-20.
Thank you. So I've entitled our message this morning, Disciples Are Made, Not Born. And we're going to be looking at those two verses of scripture, and we're going to be looking at together, and then we're going to be kind of sprinkling in some stories along the way. So we're just jump right in, as I said, because we have a lot of stories we want to share. And so the first point is disciples are multipliers of the gospel. And you have an outline on the back if you'd like to follow along. Multipliers of the gospel. So just to start out, I'm more of a math guy than a science guy. I like math. At least up until like the higher level of math in high school, then it really just lost me. But I like, you know, like the 1 + 1. And the reason is because 1 + 1 = 2 no matter where you go. You know, if you're in a different country, you're on the moon, 1 + 1 = always 2. And I liked math because addition made numbers bigger. I always thought subtraction made numbers smaller until you start subtracting negative numbers, then it actually does get bigger. But multiplication makes numbers bigger and faster. And who doesn't like faster and bigger? And so I really did like multiplication. And the best part was when I got to 8 × 8, because there's this nifty little rhyme about eating too much food and what happens when you eat too much food and 8 × 8. And so I will leave it at that. So the question is what does multipliers of numbers, multiply numbers, and multiplying the gospel, what do they have in common? I would think that all of us in this room and in the church universal wants to see the gospel shared. And we want to see people come to know Jesus as their Savior. And we want to see children and youth and students to fall in love with Jesus and become fully devoted followers of Christ. I think we want to see churches just bust out of their seams and for people to be coming to know Him and to follow Him with their lives. And I would say that we all want that for ourselves, right? We all want to be growing deeper in our walk with Jesus. But just as we would say, adding to the church is desirable. Am I right? Adding to the church. Addition can take a long time. But multiplying. Now, multiplying is something that will happen much more quickly, especially when it's called exponential multiplication. 1 becoming 2 becoming 4 becoming 8 becoming 16 becoming 32, and so on and so forth. So I've stumbled upon this video online. And I clipped just a minute 15 out of this video. So please forgive the rough editing. But what it looks like for exponential multiplication. So we're going to take just a few moments and we're going to watch this video.
Imagine if you were offered a penny an hour for 30 days or the option to double just one penny every day. Taking a penny every hour equals a lot of pennies pretty fast. But doubling a penny daily starts out really slowly. In 5 days, you've only got 16 cents. By day 10, you're still at just over $5. But around day 15, those numbers start going bonkers, and at the end of 30 days of doubling, you end up with nearly $5.5 million versus a measly $7.20. Now, apply that to investing in people. What if you took an entire year to focus on just one group of 6 friends? What if at the end of that year, they could walk with God like you do, and could even help others like you help them? We call these groups of friends huddles. Then, in year 2, you find a new group to help, and they all do too. Now there are 6 people, not just 1, who are changing lives like Jesus. If those six people each take on a group of six, then in 1 year, 36 people are ready to take on their own groups of six. Project forward 10 years and, well, the math just gets crazy. That's more disciples than would fit into the largest stadium in the world. That's the power of multiplication.
So if we were to all look at the gospel and say we want to work on multiplying the gospel as a disciple of Jesus, being a multiplier of the gospel, then the church could and would explode. And so what we need to realize is that we need to be asking our question, how can I intentionally invest in the lives of people who will intentionally invest in the lives of people who will then intentionally invest in the lives of people? Because the text says to go out and make disciples. Notice that it does not say go and make a disciple, as if we do it once and then we're done. My job here is done. All right, here comes heaven. We need to realize that going and making disciples is a multiplication process. And if we want to see hope in this day and age, it is not going to come through the White House. It's going to come through the church house. And the only way for that to happen is for the church to go and love people who are seeking something that this world just cannot offer them. Larry Walkemeyer is the pastor of Light and Life Christian Fellowship in Long Beach, California, and he's a church planter. He said this in his book, Flow, Unleashing a River of Multiplication in Your Church Community World. He says, our vision was to stop becoming a lake church and instead become a river church. You see, in a lake church, people flow in and stay, and growth is determined by how many people stay in one place. But in a river church, the people flow in but keep moving downstream, and God uses them to minister wherever they are. So measurement becomes about flow rate instead of volumes contained, about gallons per minute instead of gallons retained. So here is our first opportunity for students to come up and share about their trips in Chicago and Minneapolis. So we invite the first set to come on up and share about your time.
Well, we had ample opportunity to be multipliers of the gospel in Chicago. And one of these opportunities came at the Franciscan Homeless Shelter, where we had a chance to interact with the homeless and pass out water and pray with them. And while we did that, opportunities came up where we could point them to our hope and we believe their hope in Jesus Christ. But not only that, other people noticed that we were loving on them too. And as they saw that, you know, they would then approach us. And again, we could multiply the gospel and share our hope in Jesus. And so we pray and trust that God will use those seeds that we planted to further advance his kingdom and indeed multiply the gospel.
So one of the most impactful things to me with the Franciscan Homeless Shelter was I was talking to this guy, and I don't remember his name, unfortunately, because this isn't the guy that was such the big impact. So I was wearing my FCA Huddle Leader shirt, and said, Joshua 1:9. So he goes, what is Joshua 1:9? And so I explained it was a Bible verse, and I told him what it is and everything, just like what that means to me. And so that led to a conversation about God. And there was this guy in a wheelchair nearby kind of like listening. And this other guy, though, I brought like my Bible from baccalaureate because I never wrote my name in it because I have a lot of Bibles, I guess, like especially those little ones from the fair. But So I offered this other guy that, and he's like, oh, no, I can't. My pockets are so full. I'm like, are you sure? It's like this big. And he's like, I can't. And so this dude named Brian, he asked me for it. And I felt really bad because later that other guy was, like, asking for it. And I was like, oh, I kind of already gave it away. So side note, it was nice. Next time we came, Pastor Rick let me use another Bible to give away. So this guy hears me talking to this other guy about God. And so then later, Brian, he starts asking me questions, and like he kind of knew about Jesus and everything, but he was more testing me and trying to get more information and knowledge out of me. And just, like, it was really cool how God was able to use me to, like, give him verification and, like, that Christ is real and everything. And I was able to share the gospel and pray with him. He wants to be able to run and play sports again. And he has a really big dream to become the first all-impromptu rapper. So, big dreams, but anything's possible. That's about it. Brian was a pretty cool dude. And if you guys, Pastor Rick, would it be okay if I made the list of all the people to pray about again? We can put it in a bulletin.
Huh?
Right. That will be here soon.
Hello. My name is Kelsey Kubal. I'm going to be a sophomore at Waterville. And going into this trip, you know, we all meet here at the church really early in the morning. No one looks very happy. We're all really tired. And we don't really know each other. Like, we knew who each other were, but we didn't, like, know each other. And trust me, after you spend hours and hours in a van with these people, you really know them by the end. So that van, also known as the Stalker van. I mean, have you ever seen those really big white ones? That's what we called it, like, the whole trip. we didn't really know what to expect. We didn't really know our schedule, the plan. We knew we were doing something like children's ministries. And I don't know what the guys were thinking, because there was only two of them, and there were, like, seven girls. So I kind of felt bad for them the whole trip. Rick drove the whole way, so I just want to compliment him, because he drove in Chicago traffic. And he didn't lose his patience once, even though we were really annoying sometimes. This is my favorite thing that we did to him. 1 mile, 0.8 miles, 0.6 miles, 0.7 miles, 800 feet, 700 feet, 600 feet, turn right. Well, anyway, I don't have time to share all these stories because Gabe has me on. He made a bet that if I go over 12 minutes, I owe him a buck. So... So the van was very fun. I gotta say, it was one of the best memories of the whole trip. Especially when we went to the dollar store, and all the adults were in the store. So it's us nine kids waiting in the van. And we think it's a good idea to start prank calling leaders. Just ask Brian. Claire did a Russian accent and called him Brian Coconut. Well, anyway, what impacted me most on this whole trip was when we went to the Franciscan homeless shelter. And that's a homeless shelter where they can't go in until, like, 8 o'clock in the summer, because so they have to spend their whole day, you know, outside doing something else. And they're usually, like, close to, like, an hour before. They'll wait right outside the shelter, like, for a block, and they'll just be sitting out there. And so we get there, and we do this twice. And we have, like, these three big things of waters to hand out, and we don't really know what to expect the first day, because they're kind of telling us we're going to go up to these homeless people, and we're going to be talking to them and giving them water and then praying with them. So, you know, it kind of sounds scary at first. Like, you know, you're hearing the stereotype of, like, homeless people. You're like, this is, I don't know what to expect here. And so we're in, like, groups of three, and we go up, and we just start talking to people. And... It was surprised at how easy it was to do, because you don't even have to share the gospel with them. It's just talking with them. I mean, you try to, but it's not always, like, something that comes up in the conversation. And, you know, some will just say, no, thank you. They don't really want to talk. But others will, they'll be so willing to pray with you. And that's something that really, really surprised me. Like, they'll pray and they'll talk for, like, 45 minutes with you. And that hour and a half, like, think that we spent there, like, it just flew by. And, It's not, I don't know if I had the super impact on them, but it's more the impact they had on me, because if I can pray with strangers who don't have a house, I can pray with my friends at school. I can just ask them, what can I pray for you? And by the end, it had such a big impact on me that I'm now considering maybe becoming a pastor when I grow up, and that is something that is really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We were very blessed. Thank you for the funny stories too, because it's very easy to either remember all funny or like, okay, we're super serious because this is church, you know. And so thank you for that. And we did have one casualty on the trip. A hubcap was stolen. Stolen. No, really, I didn't realize it. We're driving down I-90, I think it was, and the guy who was coordinating the trip was behind it, and he says he just saw it fall off and roll down the street. So, yeah, but no, we were very, very, the Lord protected us. I did almost clip a Tesla, though, and that would have been not a good thing. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, and so, you know, multiplying of the gospel not only affects other people, but it also can affect us. You know, the other thing that we saw, and this is our second point, is that disciples are aware that all nations are here. You know, it did not take a whole lot of time to see that there were a lot of people in Minneapolis, right? But there were a whole lot more people in Chicago. And one thing I learned very quickly, every single one of them needs to learn how to drive better. But Matthew says, go and make disciples of all nations. So Chicago is the third largest city in the world. But this has to be talking about only going to foreign nations, right? We are living in a very unique time in which the world, the nations are coming here, and they are here. And some of these people are Buddhist, Hindu, Catholics, atheists, Muslims, or nuns. Not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E. Nuns are becoming the largest religious demographic in the United States. People who say they have no religious affiliation. And I was thrilled to hear a few weeks ago, I was talking about how Muslims are coming to Jesus, like, in droves. And that just thrills my heart to know that the nations are coming to Jesus. But regardless of what their beliefs are, and we no longer have to travel to foreign countries to experience foreign culture. D.A. Horton, a pastor and modern-day evangelist, wrote this about being on mission. He says, I'm defining being on mission as any place where people live, where gospel proclamation is minimal and biblical influence of the church is not felt. To me, the mission field is both across the seas and across the street. And if that across the street can be said about Waseca or Minneapolis or Chicago. But I'll say, if you feel the Lord leading you to San Diego, you go to San Diego, right? The Dennis girls shared that one went to Ireland and one went to Thailand and Cambodia. Like, if you feel the Lord leading you, you go. If you feel led to go to Ghana, you will never regret making disciples in Africa. So did our students see the world at their doorstep? I think they did. They see people who believe differently than they did? I think we have a few stories. Our next group, would you come on up? Whoever that is.
And Lisa, if you'd like to come up as well, you're more than welcome. All right, so when we were, it was like, we were over a river or something.
It was by the Trump Tower on the bridge.
And so Kelsey and I kind of split off from the group because we wanted to get a couple of cool pictures of the water because I like taking a lot of pictures when I'm in different places. And we had to at least have someone with us. So we kind of walked off, and we walked past this lady, and, like, you know, we felt kind of bad after. So we go back and we're like, hey, I don't have any money with me right now, but if you're willing, we can pray for you. And she was just like, she seemed really upset and just, like, when we offered to pray with her, she was like, no, now you're frustrating me more, and, like, just pray for me. So she wanted us to pray for her on our own. But Kendra will tell you more about kind of what she said to both of us and just how, what happened with Kelsey and I, how that kind of, like, I don't know, developed into what happened to Kendra with her.
Yeah, so I didn't know that they walked past this woman at this point, but we were all walking on the bridge as a group, and this lady, we kind of met eye to eye. I mean, we just connected somehow. And then she was asking for money, and so then I looked to see if I had anything, because each day I would try to listen for God to tell me to give something to someone, because I don't have enough money to give to every homeless person in the whole city that I see. But I just felt like if that was the right person, God would tell me to give that person the money. And this time it felt right. So I dug out a $5 bill from my purse and I gave it to her, and she was thanking me, and she was saying how much it meant to her. And I turned to go, but then something stopped me, like God was holding me back, and he was saying, no, turn around. And so then I asked her if she needed anything to pray about, and then tears started breaking from her eyes, because she said that she knew the Lord, but she was kind of angry with him at this time, because she didn't like the situation that she was put in, and she didn't understand why she was put in the situation. And so then we prayed together, and she wanted me to pray, because if she prayed, then she would start crying even more. And so then I prayed, and when we looked up, she was still crying even more. So then I gave her a hug, and she just, it impacted her so much, and then it impacted me, because I was so excited that finally, outside of the homeless shelter and on my own, I did something that I've been wanting to do for the whole entire trip. And I was thankful that God gave me that opportunity to do that.
I will tell you, it was such a blessing to go on this trip. This was actually my first mission trip ever, and I have been a Christian for 19 years. But it was amazing to work as a team with all of these people here, and to watch these young kids, I call them kids, they're not really kids, young adults, really grow in all their passion for the Lord, and it was just amazing to see that. I am talking today about Pacific Garden Mission because I love the whole trip, but I really was intrigued with all that they do for the homeless people. And they don't just feed them. They feed them the Word. They feed them the Gospel, and they take them in, and they clothe them, and they house them, and they meet all their needs, not just food. And I just thought that was a very neat place, and I've been wanting to learn more and more about that. I could have probably stayed there for a lot longer than we did. We kind of had a certain schedule that we kept, but we got to go there a couple times during the week that we were there, and that was amazing. And some of the people and their testimonies there it was just incredible of where they were and where they are today because of Jesus and because of that place taking them in and teaching them the Gospel and teaching them how to work and go out and get real jobs and be able to support themselves and get out of where they were and put them on a new path. Relationship with Christ, and I just think that was amazing. So thank you for sending us there and giving us that opportunity, because it was just incredible.
We've got a couple other students spread out. If you guys at any point want to come up during the time, please feel free to come up and talk and share, because this was your trip. And so we want you guys to have the opportunity. The next thing that we did, we actually, on the free day, we went into Chinatown. And I wish, if I could go back, you know how it always is, hindsight's always 20/20. You always go back and say, oh, if I could have done this differently, I would have spent more time in Chinatown. Because I would have loved for our students to have interaction and talk to people who believe very differently. Many, you know, Eastern religion and Chinese people have very different thoughts about religion, and it would have been great to have a new perspective. So next time we go to Chicago, more Chinatown. The third thing that we want to talk about is disciples are dedicated to teaching the next generation of the church. So if you see, we're filling in the letters of the word made. See, the Great Commission tells us to teach them everything that I have commanded you. If you remember, back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses shares the importance of teaching and influencing their children. There's an old adage, and I think it fits in every area, but especially in urban areas. If nothing changes, then nothing will change. And so it's very important to us and to Jesus, because it's part of our disciple-making pathway that children are part of this process. If we want the next generation to be followers of Jesus, then we need to be teaching them how to be followers of Jesus. And so I think it'd be another opportunity to plug Vacation Bible School tonight. VBS is special to a lot of people. You know what I was looking for when we were opening our hearts to the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, if you're leading us elsewhere, direct us. One of the main things was we wanted a place where people would intentionally invest in our children. We want our kids to have good memories of church. We want them to have people around them who will invest in their lives and teach them how to follow Jesus. I want them to look back and to find and see people who love Jesus and love them and gave of themselves and created a place where they could come and sing songs, where they could make crafts and play games and learn more about Him. And be under the stars. You know, I didn't have a whole lot of good memories of church growing up. Went to a very legalistic church. But I remember Vacation Bible School. In fact, I still remember one of the theme songs from one of my favorite from however many years ago that was. So the question is, what legacy are you leaving for the next generation of the church? Not for yourself, but so that kids and students will grow up and want to leave that same legacy for someone else's kids. See, that's called generational multiplication. If you are interested in generational multiplication, then talk to Katie Jeske before you leave. I'm sure that there's a place we can find for you to invest and impact the lives of kids. And one of the highlights of our time while we were in Chicago was working with the Lord's Way Church on the South Side. We ran a kids ministry, but really what we did was we invested in the lives of kids. So if there's anybody who'd like to share about Lord's Way Church, and I'm going to have Jaden's come up too, and she's going to share about Minneapolis, because we got to plug Minneapolis too. So we've spent a lot of time talking about Chicago, so come on up.
Hi, my name is Jaden Smedina. I went on the Minneapolis mission trip. While we were there, we helped the New Creation Baptist Church. In our first day in Minneapolis, we went to the church to help relocate boxes of food for their food shelf. On our second day, we went on a prayer walk, and we just picked up garbage and prayed with the people we met along the way. We also helped in a food truck, and that was my favorite part of the trip. We were able to feed the people, and the money we raised helped the church share the gospel with kids in Minneapolis. Also, because we were there to cook and serve, the pastor was able to talk with people, and share about the ministry. This trip was important to me because it showed me that I can make an impact in the community, even if it is just picking up garbage and praying with the people along the way. Thank you for supporting this mission trip.
Okay, so talking about the Lord's Way mission, or Lord's Way Church, I guess, where we helped out with the kids, that was interesting. Okay, so I'm kind of one who likes things under control, right? Now, if you put me in a room with a bunch of little kids, like, they are great, fantastic, it's scary. Now, you put me outside to go get more kids, it's kind of like, even more scary, especially when you're in the part of Chicago where having a big group of people wearing matching blue shirts going door to door could be kind of scary to some people. But I was kind of in the back of the pack when we were going and passing out these flyers, kind of like, this is weird. I don't know what to do. But then they're like, hey, Claire, do you want to go and try handing out these flyers? And I'm like, sure. So they send me up there, and it's kind of like, actually, this is kind of fun. It's like playing Ding Dong Ditch for Jesus. So, so we're going around the blocks doing this, and it's like, haven't met a single person yet, right? So I'm putting this in the screen door. Like, we go up these steps, put it in the screen door, are turning around, but all of a sudden it opens, and you're just kind of like, hi, do you have kids? Would you like to send them to the church place on the corner? Yeah. And yeah, there's going to be games and snacks. Yeah. You'd be surprised at how many times that happened, but I would like to think that towards the end it kind of got more lax, but yeah. So to describe throughout the week, it was very interesting. Again, we didn't really know what was going on, but just interacting with the kids, and that was a huge blessing to me and in my life. Something that God was truly testing me with is, again, kind of trying to keep things under control, but also being more relaxed and letting them be who they are while also just keeping it calm and making sure no one's dying. But, yeah, it was truly great. I was truly blessed by this mission trip. Thank you.
So remember, she's the one who did the prank calls. That kind of makes sense now, right? Yeah, yeah. She's really good at voices, right? Yeah. So I know I've been up here a few times now, but so the Lord's Way Church was really cool because I absolutely adore kids, and there was a lot of them. It was great. And so this isn't like a really nice, like, suburban kind of neighborhood. This is like barred up windows. Gated, you see gates everywhere, everything's gated. It's like, you know, you're driving in there, and there's graffiti, there's gates.
It's not the ghetto.
It's not like Waseca, though.
No.
So anyway, I don't know what we're going into, and, but it's like, you get, it is a little run down. Yes, it's not the ghetto. But, so you go to this church, and it's not like our church. It's not carpeted. It's you can tell it's a little more run down. It's like lower finances. But so these kids, they're so cute, and they make a great impact. And my main goal the whole time was memorizing their names, because these are really hard names to memorize. They're names I've never heard before. Alquavian? I mean, that was really hard. But I memorized like 35 names or something by the end, and these kids were incredible, and they were really good and super fun to work with. So I wanted to say that.
I don't have anything planned right now, so I don't have a script, so just bear with me here. So the kids, like, when we came here, they said, oh, be prepared to, like, not want to leave and take them all with you. I was like, oh, I got this. I'm not going to be all sappy. You know? But when we're leaving, like, you know, I'll take some with me if it is an option. But but one of the, on the video, the kid I was playing with was Alquavian or something. And every time we went outside to go play on the concrete, because that's what they had for a little play area, we'd have like chalk and bubbles and stuff. Like, they'll all just come up to you and start blowing bubbles at you, and like, oh, you don't know what to do. So you'll be running with this little kid, and then all of a sudden he'll come up and jump, another one will come jump on you, and like, you'd have to like have like a schedule or something whenever you go out there. But when we were going around handing out like flyers for the church, it was Gabe and one of the pastors there, Pastor Terrence, me, and I forgot who else was there. Were you there? Yeah, Kelsey was there. Whoever this girl is. So I was walking up to a house, putting a flyer up there, and there was like a gate, so I open it and walk out. When I shut the gate, big pit bull runs up and starts barking at me. I was like just in time to get out there. I was like, oh. There was no like beware of dog sign or anything. And so you don't know what to expect when you walk in there. But it was an experience I don't want to happen again. You know, I'm done.
Hey, this kid was great, and he got on my nerves a bunch. But he didn't want to stay with the group in Chicago. But he was great, and it was awesome to see him and us as a team just invest in the lives of these kids. You're great.
Thanks, man.
Just real quick, Pastor Rick, you're just talking about how being invested in the lives of the next generation, and I just want to thank you because this trip and like our youth group and everything wouldn't be possible with your dedication towards our generation. So thank you.
It's great because I get to just be up here and make look good just because you guys are looking good. So. No, we did. We would have dozens more stories, and I was really proud of you guys. And just to kind of back up one real quick second, some of this lack of coordination. We worked with another organization, and so some of the pieces didn't fall in until we got there. And I know that was a little stressful for some of our team. But you know what? God was able to work through all of that. And when you see when the people who are running the Lord's Way ministry went, and now we're going to turn it over to the mission group. That's what they said every time. You looked at her face and she was completely confident that the kids were getting what they wanted. And so thank you to Lisa and to Joy, who just kind of took a lot of that. They just took a lot of that and said, we'll do crafts, we'll do this, we'll do that. And we were able to just have that impact with the kids. But I know that the kids loved Lisa and Joy too. So thank you for that. And on our Minneapolis ministry trip, we were working with Eric Price with crew, and some things changed last minute with him, and we were supposed to work with the church and their kids program, but because of a schedule change, they ended up starting their children's program the next week, and he didn't realize. So that changed some of our things. So you know what? It's really hard when things don't work exactly what you want it to, but you realize that God works through all of those things anyway. And so here's our last point. We're coming up on the clock here. Disciples are eager for more opportunities to serve. Disciples are eager for more opportunities to serve. When we become fully devoted followers of Jesus, our eyes are open to what God is doing. And see, the Great Commission gives us this great model to follow. You know, as we are going about our day and are going about our life, we go and make disciples. We multiply disciples. We teach the next generation of the church. And then the next verse, the last verse, is one that we often kind of miss. Because we kind of lump it into all of the promises. You know, we know that God will be with us to the very end of the age. And we miss that what God is actually saying is even when it is a little bit scary to speak, if you speak anyway, I will be with you. If you want to serve somebody and you're really scared to go up and serve them, if I will serve, you will serve in my name and I will be with you. If you choose to go and love that person, even though they may be very scary, that might be a very scary thing. If you choose to do that, I will be with you. John Piper said, we don't go in our strength. We go in the authority of the one who created and redeemed the world. And so we're called to serve one another in the name of Jesus. And for our students, and as with all mission trips, they can be very life-changing. And so we have just a couple of testimonies of how it was life-changing in the effect that they want to, what is my next step? What is God going to do in my life because of this ministry trip? We had a student who couldn't be here for one reason or another, and that was Katrina, and it was very impactful for her. And she said afterwards, she says, I feel like God is I want to go into full-time service for him. That's huge. And so we have a couple of others. If you would come on up and share what God is doing through you about how you can be eager for more opportunities to serve.
So no, we need to worry about that. One thing that they said about going on this trip is that we're going to be growing closer to each other. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, sure, we probably will, but like I was more looking forward to the ministry. But I think one of the coolest things for me was seeing all the different people in our group in a way I'd never seen them before. I mean, day one, Kelsey and I were really hitting it off at Barnes & Noble and like eating our Chinese that we didn't even finish like half of it. We threw it away.
Could have given it to me.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. You weren't by us. You went to Culver's, didn't you? Gabe, I thought it was kind of awkward around Gabe. Just kind of I never knew what to say to Gabe, and like, Gabe, you're my like actual like legit friend now. And there's the other girls, Nikki and Elena. Yeah, I want to say Alicia for some reason. That was one of the kids' names. I had never really talked to them, and I learned more about Nikki and Elena, and they opened up to me. I had the opportunity to stay up late and pray with Elena one night when she was struggling with homesickness, and I just grew closer to every single person in the group. And, like, you know, one thing Pastor Rick and our little dude Rich said to us is that if we're not spending time with God every day, you know, if we're not growing closer to him, then we're growing farther from him, because there's no just staying, like, in one spot. And so obviously, you know, in our busy lives, that's going to be a struggle for us coming back from this trip. But I just think it's really cool having a whole new group of people that we shared so many amazing experiences with that, you know, now we can, we know we have each other to encourage each other and to pray with, talk to whenever we need to, and be inspiration to each other. And so I think through all, like, the experiences were great, but it wouldn't be the same without this group. And I'm really blessed to have been able to go on it with these people.
I know I was challenged throughout the week. Every morning we would get together with Rich, and we had morning devotional time. And that's really impacted me. I was challenged to be more intentional in my time with the Lord in reading his word and in doing some journaling along the way. And that's just really impacted me. And I was also felt called to do something with ministry as I grow older, and I don't know what that is yet, whether, you know, full-time, part-time, or just being a missionary in whatever I do. But it was kind of unexpected for me. I didn't expect to get a wake-up call, like, I need to spend more time with the Lord, and that's what happened, and it was great. Then speaking, I know we did get closer as a team, as Jocelyn said. Going into it, I didn't know, didn't really know who I was working with, but I told them at the end of the week, you know, I love you guys, and so it was great.
Okay, I learned a lot on this missions trip, and for you who know me, you know that I don't talk a lot. But for this missions trip, there's an exception. At the Franciscan homeless shelter, there was a man named Stephen who really taught me a lot. And I was expecting to go up to him and be saying, hey, Jesus loves you, and you know what? There's a greater purpose for you. But then he started sharing, telling me his story of how he came to know Jesus and his long journey of his life and how he was arrested because he was accused of murdering his children, which he didn't do. And he went through all these different things in his life that just changed it. And then one day he went to the Salvation Army, and a woman there shared Christ to him. And he was sentenced to death for his crime that he did not commit. But then the lady told him that your next trial, you will not be sentenced to death. You will be just given time. And he had to work through that, but throughout all the times, sometimes he would try to commit suicide. And God failed all those suicides for him to be there and to share about all that God has done for him. And that's one of the things that I learned, that no matter how old you get, no matter what placement you get, God can always put you in a place where you are the student. And I was, because I was expecting to tell him all this stuff, but then he actually taught me some things. And I learned about courage on sharing the gospel and not being afraid, because God is my friend and I don't care what others think, because he is real. And I also learned at all these different places to put love before understanding. Because if you try to judge these people, if you try to understand their situation before you love them, then it's just going to be a lot harder when you come to love them, because you should just love them in the first place, because God already loved them even through all their struggles and their pains, and God already loves you in all your struggles and all your pains. So it doesn't matter. And I also learned a lot about these people. Now, to me, these people were like family, because you know that phrase, you choose your friends but not your family? Well, I didn't choose these people on this missions trip, but I still love them. But later on, they became my friends because I chose them as my friends, because I love each and every one of them. Now that I know them more, and I love them even more now, and I'm just glad that this whole group came together in our individual selves to just share with each other and with others and to help one another. So I thank you guys for allowing us to be on this missions trip together.
Now me and Jocelyn are tied. Okay, I just want to say real quick, thank you to Rick, because this was a week with a lot of teenagers and a lot of little kids, and I'm sure it was very difficult sometimes, right? No? Really? Well, I'm really, any other person probably would have just made us walk home, so... I want to say thank you to him and all of our volunteers and all these people who came along, because it was really great and I loved getting to know them and they're really fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Turk, especially for like when you're trying to do that communion and Gabe and I accidentally drank the juice before communion. and then we like did this whole thing. We had to wash each other's feet and we were all like really giggly because we were tired. Thanks for like...
putting up.
Yeah.
See, as you can see, that lots of stories, and they kind of run into each other, and there's just so many. And we are a little bit over time, so I apologize for that, just kind of wrapping it up. And then we do have just a highlight video of the kids actually doing ministry. So if you bear with us, you can take it out of my pay. But here's our wrapping it up. So what does this mean for you? And the first is thank you. Because your prayers and your financial support made our trip amazing and hopefully memorable to our students. See, your students got to see big city life and they got to see millions of people who need Jesus. And I also pray that the images of children sleeping on Michigan Avenue will be burned into the minds of your students forever. That was the hardest thing for us to walk by. But if it wasn't for you and the prayers and financial support, that made our trip memorable. So thank you. The second is the Great Commission is not made for someone else, because you are uniquely called and exceptionally gifted to love others. So while this was all about our students, really, this is all about you. So how are you going to make the Great Commission your life mission? And number three is you were made to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, if you have given your life to follow Jesus, then you are a disciple. We've got to stop separating, like, I'm a Christian but not a disciple, because there is no difference. If you have given your life to follow Jesus, you are a disciple. And so you were made for this. And we thank you that you have given your life to Jesus, that you have accepted God's call on your life to participate in the Great Commission. So what we're going to do is we are going to close with the highlight video. And then at that time, Pastor Chris, you can come up and close the service. Thank you.